All right, final hour here. Boston Sports Original, WEEI. It's cutdown day in the NFL, and the Patriots have their 53-man roster set. We just gave you the offense. I don't feel like we need to go down and do the entire defense, but let's talk about the guys who did get cut. We can spend a moment or two on that. It's not a ton of big names or big shocks. But Antonio Maffey, a reasonably high draft pick last year, gone. And when you sort of look at the recent drafts here for the Patriots, it's obviously an ugly situation. Like, you don't have a lot of guys still on the team. You have a bunch of guys who aren't even in the league anymore, going back a few years. And just last year, for example, Gonzalez missed most of the season. Keon White's been good. Mapu has been sort of in between. Jake Andrews out. Ryland cut. City So hurt, but he made the team. Maffey cut. Kayshon Boutte, people thought might get cut, but he did make the team. Pop Douglas was a good pick. The rest of them, Behringer, whatever, Speed, I don't know. Bolden, I don't know about those guys. I just sort of feel like that was, seventh rounders, that type of thing. You go back a year before that, Cole Strange, Puplist, Tyquan Thornton made the team. Marcus Jones on the team, obviously missed all last year. Jack Jones gone. Bailey Zappe gone. Kevin Harris cut. And, then it takes you back to the Mac draft. And we all sort of know the names on that one. We know the names in 2020. It's been an ugly couple of years here. It's been an ugly couple of years with these draft picks. I think that's sort of, in a weird way, painted Jerod Mayo and, in some level, Elliot Wolf into the corner that they're in terms of how they've built this team and why they felt like they had to re-sign all these people. They didn't want to spend a lot of money. They didn't feel great about, going out and picking on the unknown. But when it came to re-signing their own guys, that's really all they did. And it gave the Belichick people real ammo to be like, well, if Belichick was so bad, then how come they're re-signing all their players? As if these were all great moves and great allocation of resources. And, oh, man, if Kyle Duggar had gone out into the open market, oh, they would have snatched him up right away. Or Josh Uche, what a hot commodity he would have been. Ramondre Stevenson even, who I like, but had a big-time drop-off last year. And this is a running back. Running back careers are generally 2 or 3 years max before they fall apart. So, like, I don't know. I mean, I look at these draft picks. I look at the way they went about the offseason, and I just sort of feel like it was a really rough stretch of draft picks.
Well, they
still brought them all back.
But you needed some talent, and it's mediocre. By any metric you use, it's all mediocre, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Christian Barmore, we love.
Some of them are less than mediocre, but yeah.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, even the good ones. Ramondre Stevenson, he's a mediocre running back.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a Pro Bowler. He's not making any top 10 at the position, like, whatever. I think their only top 10 was Kyle Duggar, correct?
Yes.
So, and I think he's...
On those ESPN lists. Yeah.
So, and there's no, like, real metric. You can't say, like, it's all sort of, subjective.
Mm-hmm.
But even Barmore, who we love and we're lamenting the loss of due to the blood clots, is not... Let's not pretend he's a 4 straight Pro Bowls and, Defensive Player of the Year candidate. He's a good player.
He is.
That
and
you're hoping is ascending.
Progressing and
absolutely.
Better each year, right?
You're hoping he's ascending and he's going to reach some of his potential that his frame and physique and athleticism present. But... talent's a problem. It's a little bit, why I thought they weren't going to be very good last year, and they weren't. And then this year, not going to be very good. You know why? Because they don't have a lot of talent. You don't have anything. And I think even with the Judon trade and Gonzalez, I don't know how good Gonzalez is. I don't know what you hang your hat on and say, every week I know we're going to get X.
Right.
There's nothing. There's almost, because some of it, Ramondre, I think, is good, but it's tied into the offensive line. If the offensive line blows, then he's probably not going to have good productive runs very regularly. So what this, right down to you trade up for a kicker, he's gone a year later. For another guy who's a journeyman,
mm-hmm.
It's not like you replaced him with some, we went and got Justin Tucker. He's a journeyman.
Right.
Sly. I'm not even sure Sly makes it through the season. He's susceptible to having a slump and all of a sudden you're going to your high quality waiver wire pick to get a kicker somewhere.
They'll just find Nick Folk somewhere.
Like, the problem...
sitting on a bar stool somewhere.
Okay, so... So the cuts go down. It's like, well, nothing really surprised me.
Mm-hmm.
And even heading into cuts, I had trouble people coming up with surprise cuts. I don't know, like, would you really be surprised if almost any of these people are cut? And plus, there's certain guys you know aren't going to get cut, even though they're not great players. You just know they're not going to get cut. The wide receivers, it wasn't talented enough to cut anybody. but they're not good. They're none. Do you have any keepers? If you had to use like a fantasy keeper slot, would you use it on one of your wide receivers? Any of those keepers for
maybe,
the long term?
Maybe Douglas.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But I wouldn't be.
You know what he had last
it.
Game? Did you watch the game the other night? He looked like Brandon Cooks in the Super Bowl. He's running around like a chicken with his head cut off.
I saw that, yeah.
He had like four catches for 14 yards. Mm-hmm. He averaged less than 5 yards, not a carry, not a running back carry, less than 5 yards a catch. So they don't have keepers. They had to keep some because you have to have a roster. You have to put a team and a product on the field. You have to have some sort of a core and a foundation.
Right.
And I think they did the best they could with that. And you're right. It emboldened some of the Belichick people. Oh, you just keep him. I thought he couldn't draft. Seems
no,
like they
no, he
like
can't.
Him. Yeah, no. When you go through... The one for me is 22, where my boy Fitzy, I can remember doing a podcast with him when he was like, every draft pick is on the field and contributing. And now you look at it and you're like, Cole Strange injured. And by the way, if Cole Strange were healthy, he would have been a surprise cut in my mind.
You think so?
Because I'm not sure how good he is. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure they – but
can he snap the ball?
We're going to find out, I think, at
right?
some point.
Really? I mean, they might as well try it out, you know?
But then you go to Tyquan Thornton.
Uh-huh.
He's established nothing.
Nope.
We can say he had a nice summer, done nothing. Marcus Jones, he was a great jack-of-all-trades, score a touchdown in all three phases,
guys. I was excited for him last year. I was bummed out when he got hurt. I thought there was going to be really something there.
And I do think he's an elite returner. I'm not sure he's a great corner. I'm not sure he's a starting-caliber corner, which he's sort of being... expected to be. Jack Jones, gone. Pierre mm-hmm. Strong, gone. Bailey Zappi, gone. Kevin Harris, gone. Sam Roberts, gone. Jason Hines, gone. Andrew Stuber, gone.
Ugh. Rough.
There's one guy, Marcus Jones, and I don't even know, like, he's a returner. So you drafted a returner in this third round. Okay, great.
And that was your best pick.
Better be Devin Hester.
Yeah, I mean, you're right about that. I think that, I feel like every year we do this with, like, the previous year's draft. You know, the previous year's draft, you just look back at it and go, man, like, what happened to this guy? Oh, man, Chase Winovich is gone. Like, oh, look at all these people. Like, everybody's gone. These Bill draft picks, I mean, they were Belichick draft picks, not this last one, and we'll see how this all goes. But,
no, this is the home run draft. You feeling
think?
It? What do you mean? Got a franchise quarterback, got a mm-hmm. number one receiver, got a left tackle, got a road grading guard.
Who's the left tackle?
I don't know, Caden
what
Wallace.
What left
I was just reading down the list. That's what they sold me on when they drafted him.
Yeah, it's true.
They used a day two pick on a tackle. He's a left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Penn State had two left tackles, but they couldn't play them both at left tackle.
Oh, he's a left tackle, so he played left tackle. Well.
Well, no, but he could have.
Funny you mentioned that, actually.
The other guy was better, but he could have if
he
the other
totally,
guy wasn't better.
Totally could have been the left tackle. But, yeah, you're right. And it's unfortunate because it puts him in a position like this, and that's a tough position for a new coach, new GM, new everybody to be in here trying to put this roster together.
So they kept all their draft picks. Dial made it.
Yes, Dial made it.
So they kept every one of their draft picks. Because Jaheim Bell made it, Joe Milton made it, Baker Robinson, like the only one who would have been in question is Marcellus Dial.
Yep, Dial made it.
So they kept. I would do that too. If I were a GM and I was a crappy football team, I would absolutely keep all my draft picks so it looks like I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, here's your defensive line. Equale, Godchow, Tristan Hill, Jeremiah Farms, Keon White, Dietrich Wise. Linebackers, Bentley, Christian Ellis, Jennings, McMillan, Tavai, Uche, and Jimenez?
O'Shea? Oh, yeah, that guy.
O'Shane Jimenez?
You're not saying it right, but I don't know how to say it better.
Okay. Corners. Alex Austin, Isaiah Bolden. Dial, Gonzalez, Jones, and Marco Wilson?
Wilson.
And
veteran guy.
Okay, and the safeties, Duggar, Peppers, Brendan Schooler, Del Pettis, and Jalen Hawkins. The kid Bledsoe got cut.
Yeah.
They
Fitzy's guy.
Yeah, he was
a three jump. He's coming out of nowhere. He's going to be a stud.
Well, he was someone that I think, you know, he was a late round pick and was kicking around for a couple of years, but didn't really see much
of
the field here.
All you people, I call them, the superfan types, talked him up like he was the second coming of freaking Lawyer Malloy or something. He was not and is not.
Okay, and your special teamers, Joe Cardona obviously made the team, Joey Sly and Bryce Berringer. A bunch of people texting in, what about Kendrick Bourne? Where's Kendrick Bourne? Did he get cut? Pup list.
P-U-P.
Pup list for Bourne, pup list for Cole Strange, pup list for Taki Taki, and for short-term IR in the NFI, Marte Mapu and Christian Barmore. So
no surprises there.
No surprises on either one of those.
So week five.
Yes.
Against the Dolphins at Gillette Stadium, Drake May's first NFL start throwing to Kendrick Bourne, who's fresh off the pup list.
With Cole Strange snapping him the ball.
Could be. So we're hyping up week five,
Dave
baby.
Still there week five, but yeah, okay. There it is. That's the that is the roster. That is your New England Patriots roster. How do you feel about it, Patriots fans? 617-779-7937. The only surprise cut I saw was David Wallace, CEO of Dunder Mifflin, who was a return guy, got cut. I was surprised to see that because in the games I saw, it looked like he was a pretty dynamic return guy, but you're not surprised by this at all.
No, in the, I believe it was 18 practices I saw, he had a simple problem of catching the football.
Catching, like, kicks and punts?
Punts, kicks, passes. He was like a 50-50 proposition on all of them.
Okay.
Not good, Bob.
Yeah, not going to, well, maybe he's one of those guys that just shows up on game day. You know, there's people like that.
I don't think you want a punt returner that you're hoping shows up on game day.
Well.
I feel like you want a decision maker, some sure hands, some accountability back there. I don't think we need him. We
got
Marcus Jones.
How big is the practice squad going to be? You think they're going to use all the spots, and who do you think is going to land on it?
So, Kevin Harris.
Yep.
I think they would take Bailey Zappe. My question is if the interest will be mutual. And that'll be interesting. Could also be sobering for him. Because there wasn't a ton of interest last year. He had a few other practice squad opportunities. Nobody claimed him.
Mm-hmm.
That one, but I think Zappe could be in the mix. A lot of them. I'd have to go down the... But generally speaking, your guy, Wallace, could definitely be a practice squatter. Scrappy, put him on any team you need, fill in practice, wherever you need him kind of guy. So yeah, I think he could be in the mix. I mean, would they want to keep Chad Ryland in the mix to develop, to have another kicker to not? Because I'm not I said it earlier. I'm not totally sold. Joey Sly is like, you got a kicker. You're fine. You're solidified there. Because most teams, I feel like the percentage is like 2/3 of your practice squad. So
right.
Like 10 of the 16, 11 of the 16 are re-signings of guys you had. But I also think the next 24 hours are going to be very interesting. See who they claim. See who was cut. Can they swing any trades? Can they find anything? They're not good enough for this to be the final 53.
I would hope not, but I also am not expecting there to be some big revelation.
Trent Williams.
Guy, right? Yeah, no one's getting
you
cut
don't want
like
to trade
that.
For Trent Williams?
I'd love to trade for Trent Williams.
I
don't
wouldn't.
Think that
Why
they're
are we
going to
trade for Trent Williams? He's like a 37-year-old tackle. He'll be here for like a year.
Don't care.
What are we going to get out of it?
You would
Actually,
protect,
you know what?
You'll protect
Selfishly,
your rookie quarterback. That's
if
what.
That allows me to see Drake May sooner, then I would trade
That's
for
the exact reason why. That's the reason why I'd want to do it.
I wasted a pick.
Who cares?
I do.
I mean, sure. I don't know what kind of pick it would take to get him over here, but the 37-year-old, it might not be a... You just got a third-round pick for Judon. If you could get him for that, I'd do it. I would do it just in the very sense it would make Drake May's life a little bit easier this year, and I think that's important.
You people. Now, I'm just talking about you people now, not the
other you people.
What do
you mean, you people?
You people need to realize this team's not going to win a lot of games, regardless of what is done in the next days, whatever.
I'm not talking about it for winning games.
Okay.
I'm talking about the peace of mind of your quarterback.
Yeah, I just
so
want
that he's
my
not
quarterback.
Seeing ghosts out there because he keeps getting hit.
He's not
going to
see ghosts. This guy's special. This guy is not a ghost seer.
Yeah.
He's not a Mac. He's not breakable.
Sam
he's
Darnold
a
saw a ghost. He was a third overall pick too.
And do you think did they break Sam Darnold or was he breakable?
I don't know. We'll see how he does
breakable.
On a real team. He's going to be on the
breakable.
Vikings this year. It's a real.
He was
offense.
On Carolina. That was a real offense supposedly.
Was it?
It wasn't. You
I
know
don't
what?
Think it was.
He's not that good. That's the everybody says they broke a quarterback. No, the quarterback was breakable. You got to look at it from the other side. You got to reverse engineer it.
All right, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got open phone lines here if you want to talk Patriots. Cut down day. We know what the roster is. We just gave it to you. How's it make you feel there, Patriot Nation? Here's Stiz with what's trending.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, let's get you caught up one last time before this maiden voyage comes to an end with what's trending. Trending brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Red Sox lost both games of their doubleheader against the Blue Jays yesterday. They lost the afternoon game 4-1 and then lost last night 7-3. Nick Pivetta earned the loss even though he finished the night with 10 strikeouts. Red Sox will play another 3 against Toronto. The next one goes down in just a couple hours tonight. First pitch at 7:10 from Fenway. Cooper Criswell will take the mound for your Boston Red Sox. He'll face off against Yariel Rodriguez for the Jays. Joe Weil will get you ready for the game starting at 6:10 with the MassMutual pregame show. Don't forget, you can catch both the pregame and the game right here on WEEI or download the Odyssey app, and you can take us wherever you go. After two seasons with New England, the Patriots have decided to move on from quarterback Bailey Zappe. According to multiple reports, Zappe has been informed of New England's intention to waive him. In the 2024 preseason, Zappe was 15 of 25 for 137 yards. The Patriots' 53-man roster now finalized after they made a total of 23 moves. They released 16 players, placed three players on injured reserve, three players on the PUP list, and one player on the non-football injury list. Cole Strange and Kendrick Bourne have both been placed on the PUP list. And Adam Schefter reported that Joey Sly has won the kicking competition and New England will move on from 2023 fourth-rounder Chad Ryland. Trending brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take strokes off your game by taking pounds off your frame with Awaken 180. How many birdies can you uncover? Visit awaken180weightloss.com today. I'm Stiz. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More WEEI afternoon show coming up.
Oh, man. I was just thinking, I haven't listened to Fred Durst rap in a while.
Well, I got you, RK.
Thanks, man. You know, this used to be, I don't know if it's still, this used to be the Red Sox review song.
Oh, was it? When you were doing it?
When I was doing Red Sox reviews, this was the Red Sox, it was the instrumental. We didn't get to hear the John Gotti bars from
Hey, don't Fred sleep Durst on the Method Man feature.
Method Man, and this is DJ Premier. I mean, this is, you know, aside from Fred Durst, it's a great song. Have you seen Fred Durst lately, by the way?
Weird guy, Ace.
Can honestly say I have not.
Definitely looks different. Let me put it that way. Looks a lot different. Anyway, what you just heard there was Doug Peterson of the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm going to keep making that joke, yes.
Somebody will laugh eventually, I
eventually,
promise.
Eventually. Someone in their car maybe thought, oh, yeah, Ferris Bueller, Peterson. And he was really letting it rip after the, I think it was their second game with Mac Jones going out there and going just hog wild. I mean, Mac Jones is having a great, I think he's the highest rated quarterback in the preseason. He's killing it out there against the second and third stringers with the Jacksonville Jaguars. There's no chance he's going to start any of these games unless Trevor Lawrence gets hurt, but he's been fantastic. I mean, really, he's been one of the best quarterbacks of the entire preseason, starter, rookie, whatever.
Didn't Bill tell us not to put any stock in that?
He did.
Okay.
And maybe that's part of why he said that. But yeah, as you just heard Peterson say there, Mac will still revert back to his Patriot ways every now and then, and we've got to remind him he's in Jacksonville. And that, I don't know, I'm not part of the team, you know, I'm just a fan. I grew up here. I've been a Patriots fan my entire life, and I remember when they sucked, and I remember when the Jaguars came into the league, you know, the Brunell and the Jimmy Smith,
Coughlin,
and Fred Taylor and all those guys. Like, I remember when they were an expansion team. I remember when they were a playoff team, and there was a time where, you know, that was a apt thing to say. And then for a bunch of years, for the last 20 years, you never would ever think you could hear the sentence, he'll revert back to his Patriot ways, and we got to remind him he's in Jacksonville. Mm. Like, this is we don't do things like that here in Jacksonville.
You
we
took offense.
We don't play like the Patriots here in Jacksonville. It wasn't so much that I took offense. It's more like a cut deep, you know? Like, it was one of those.
Oh, because it's true.
It was one of those quotes where it's just like, he's right, you know? Mac Jones in New England with the Patriots, and because of the Patriots, I think. And yeah, he was breakable, sure, but I do think there's talent there, and if you surround him and put him in the right situation, Tua Tagovailoa is probably breakable, too. In the right situation, he's a productive quarterback.
Yeah, I think Brian Flores tried to break him.
He did.
And then Mike McDaniel built him up.
I think he did break him. I mean, he benched him. Like, he was, that rookie year for Tua was not good. And, obviously McDaniel's a better fit. You put Tyreek Hill around him, you draft Jalen Waddle, you do all these things, great. Now he's a premier quarterback in the league. Not that Mac Jones is going to be, but you get my drift here. That was just one of those things that I heard, and it hurt. Peterson, yesterday, clarified what he meant by those comments. Now, we don't have audio of this, but we have a transcript from ESPN's Mike DiRocco. And here is how Peterson walked this back. He said, it's no different than myself. I grew up in Green Bay, right? Played for Green Bay, you learn certain things. You go somewhere else, like I went to Cleveland, and you revert back to terminology, hand signals, plays, things like that. That's what you're talking about. And sometimes he pulls out an old hand signal or throws out some old terminology or something because that's what he learned in New England, right? That's what he's been part of for the last several years, and it's not a slight, a knock, or anything. That's what I mean. He's been great. He's been great for the room. He's played extremely well, and we got to continue to grow. It's just sometimes, especially as quarterbacks, as smart as he is, and he studies the game very well, the terminology and learning our way and how we do it, that's what I meant by that. On a scale of 0 to 100 on the BS scale, how much is he lying right there?
So, do his comments pass the sniff test?
Do they?
Little teaser, little Easter egg. I actually think they do. I actually think that's what he meant.
That's what he meant by yeah. he's reverting back to his old Patriot ways.
I don't think it was like a beaten
ways,
dog.
Not Patriot hand signals. He said Patriot ways.
The ways in which he went about his business with the Patriots.
Mm.
You make it sound like this is some referendum on, you know, the way they treated Mac, and he was a beaten man there, and he almost has, like, he moved because I picked up my foot, and he didn't know I was just moving. Like, he thought I was going to kick him like he was a dog.
He had attitude problems here, right? I mean, when I hear Patriot ways with Mac Jones, I think of the way he behaved. Right, that's part
of it.
Are
those Patriot ways or Mac Jones ways?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think
yeah,
that he was
tennis brat.
Right, he was a tennis brat, but it's rookie year. People weren't calling him that. It wasn't until they threw a defensive coordinator out there as his offensive coordinator that he's screaming on the sideline about how the short game sucks. You know, that I think one thing sort of bled into the other.
Yeah,
or one thing maybe begat the other, if you want to put it that way.
But I do. I think there's also some truth to the language thing in football and terminology and all that crap. And you're like,
there
oh.
maybe is, but that's I don't think that's what he meant there.
So you think it was a shot at who?
At the Patriots.
At the Bill Belichick's Patriots.
Yes.
So it was a shot at Bill Belichick.
In a way, yes.
So McAfee should ask Bill about these comments.
He should. He should.
He, if he can doing his job as a podcast host to try to drum up attention.
When he's done puking in the garbage can and reintroducing himself.
Or getting high.
Or that, as Ryan Leaf alleged, then yes, he should do that. I agree. By the way, we played those Belichick cuts earlier. You saw the clips of that Belichick interview?
Yeah.
What's going on with his eyebrows?
You are fixated on his eyebrows.
I look at his eye. He looks like Bela Lugosi in those things. Like,
I don't
he looks
know who
like
that is. Who the hell's Bela Lugosi?
Dracula, like the old guy who played Dracula back in the day.
Okay,
that's what he looks like. He looks like he had them professionally done.
Maybe he did. Maybe his just friend saying. Took him.
Yeah,
maybe.
He's got a glow to him.
He does. He does.
More and more young men do that today, you know.
Eyebrow?
Oh, yeah.
Work?
That's a thing.
Should I go? Really?
I probably should. I think yours are fine.
What does that even mean? What is eyebrow?
My barber does it with a straight edge.
Oh, yeah. Some do it like that, but yeah. Some get it threaded, where they like pull them out with thread, or some get it waxed.
Oh, that's bougie.
They pull them out with threads? That's what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm not doing that.
It's a, yeah, it's
that's a
form
little,
of plucking.
A little much.
But a lot more males get that done than you'd think, especially like teens, 20-somethings, younger males.
72-year-olds.
But he's hanging with a 20-something.
It's true.
And
he
maybe,
is.
But the
maybe
bigger
she,
issue.
Maybe she's like, it's like her next career, you know?
What's her current career?
Right, yeah, she's a student now, huh? She's a historian. Isn't that how they bonded over like
philosophy.
Over world history or something? No, it was philosophy.
Yeah,
that's
philosophy.
Right, that's what it was.
But don't you think you should, wouldn't you expect you see Bill and go, huh, he looks different and younger and happier and healthier and what? I mean, he's no longer at the office at 3 a.m. and getting home at 11 and worrying about every freaking detail. He doesn't have idiots like us asking who the starting quarterback is and why he won't name a starter. I mean, his lifestyle has gone about as polar opposite as you can get.
Do you ever think that that stuff really stressed him out that much, though? He never acted that way. You did?
I always thought, and I don't know if this is appropriate, you ever notice that late in seasons, like November, he would get strange sores all over his mouth?
I do remember that, yes.
I always thought those were stress-induced.
Mm.
I thought the season wore on him. And he would put like a bunch of Vaseline or something on him,
made it
and
worse,
they would get all shiny.
Yeah.
I thought that was a physical indication that the stress,
like he's biting his lip too much or
whatever,
it's like a recurring
something
thing.
Yeah. Yes, so no,
I know what some people thought it was,
like
like
Beverly Hills Cop,
the gift that keeps on giving.
Simplex Nine,
one of those. Yeah.
But now he's on Nantucket. He's doing Zooms on Nantucket, probably making a boatload of money.
Well, it's getting taxed in Massachusetts though.
Yeah, 4%. I think he's okay paying the extra $40,000 on the million he's making from him and the
probably.
Million he's making from every podcast he does. No, I would expect him to look better. He's sitting by the fire in Nantucket. He's going out on Eight Rings, the misleadingly named boat that he has. Like, yeah, he looks fine. I don't know what you have with the eyebrows. Do you think he colored them?
I think someone colored them, yes.
So you think they've been dyed and also plucked or shaped?
Yeah, I think he got the works.
The
like,
works.
You know, you go to the car wash and they're like, give me the works. I want the undercarriage. I want the rims.
Okay, we're
I
not
want
talking about Bill Belichick's undercarriage.
Well, maybe
right
you're
now.
Not. I am. And yeah, I think that's what happened. He went to the eyebrow place. He said, give me everything.
So maybe this is part of the whole thing to look younger.
Could be.
To seem younger. Gray eyebrows don't look young.
Maybe a test
bushy
better on
eyebrows.
TV, that
right.
type of thing. Yeah, it could be that.
Yeah, I think he's
when
going
he's on the CW, a lot of teenagers watch the CW.
Right.
That's the station that has like the Vampire Diaries. Like, you know.
Yeah, you never know. That's
One
his,
Tree Hill
that's
and
his
all
crew.
Other stuff. Yeah,
that's his crew.
Very much could be that.
So maybe
yeah.
this is all a step-like approach to seeming younger and maybe getting hired. That's the, I know people have sort of wavered on that now. Did he want to seem younger to get hired, or is he going to act maybe younger and no longer want to get hired? And
maybe he thinks that's why he didn't get the Atlanta job.
Well, and it could be. But he might also realize, you know, this is just relaxing and I'm going to do a couple podcasts a week and call it a career and everybody loves me now. Nobody criticizes me. Nobody mocks me. Nobody gets mad when I don't answer something, right? Maybe he'll enjoy this.
Are you still hanging on to your bet that he will coach one game this season?
I don't feel as good about it right now as I once did.
I didn't know you had a bet that said that.
I bet Rich Keefe, yeah.
Yep.
Pizza that he would, head coach this season.
Yeah.
At least one game.
Yeah, one game at least.
That'd be funny if he only coached one game.
Yeah, and I don't care how it happens. Death, assassination, whatever. Whoa. Whatever gets Bill Belichick the one game that I need to win a free
dark
pizza.
Turn there.
But, yeah, I still think there's a chance he coaches the Cowboys.
If...
I don't care what the ifs are. He just coaches the Cowboys.
I mean, he'd have to get fired. What's-his-face would have to get fired. Oh,
yeah.
McCarthy would.
Whatever, that's fine.
Which I thought he was going to this past offseason, but I guess, I guess we'll see.
But you can keep fixating on his eyebrows.
I will. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We talked a lot earlier on in the show about the plan for Drake May, about the plan with Jacoby Brissett and the quarterback plan. How much faith do you still have in that plan? Not in the sense that May's going to start or not start the first game of the year, but the plan to bring him along, his progression, the way the coaches have sort of brought him a lot, like that whole plan. Because a caller pointed this out, and I think it was pretty astute. If we're impressed by Drake May's progress, don't we have to give some credit to the coaches for that?
Sure. No, I think there's a chance that Alex Van Pelt is on the course that Alex Van Pelt had in his mind the whole time, the HC of the offense. Mm-hmm. I think the issue has been the articulation and explanation and everything that Jerod Mayo has done outside of it. And wouldn't that make sense if it's not really his plan?
Right.
And he has, I don't mean that as a shot when I call Van Pelt the head coach of the offense. That's what Mayo calls him. So I'm just using his terminology. And I do think that Alex Van Pelt probably has pretty close to autonomy with the offense. Now, Ben McAdoo's a weird one. I don't really know what he does. I don't know how much, is he just sort of a consultant to Van Pelt, an advisor? Does he have day-to-day say? That's a weird one. And we didn't get to talk to him.
Does he still have that haircut, by the way?
I don't know.
Remember when he came up with the Giants and he had that weird part in his hair? Does he still have that weird part?
I don't know. I haven't seen him up close. He's got a hat on at practice from far away.
That's what he's wearing the hat
now. Yeah. But because he's not an assistant coach, he wasn't available to us in the media. Greg Bedard was like, they wrapped it up and he was like to PR, where's Ben McAdoo? And they're like, nah, assistant coaches. Nah, they got you on that. But I think Alex Van Pelt probably has had a slow your roll kind of plan for May. And I think he is probably comfortable where this is going. Now, he's not the one who has to talk every day about who's the starter. Why is he not starting? Why is he not getting reps? And that's where everything gets kind of murky in the middle. But I have faith in Alex Van Pelt to slow play it. Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, Alex Van Pelt about a week ago gave the latest update on the plan and how things are going. And I agree with you, too, by the way. I think that the offense is he's in charge of it.
Yeah.
And the head coach is sort of happy to have that arrangement. So here's what Van Pelt said.
I'm sure there's a chance, you know, but I think, you know, as you go in, there's still a process of how you bring a rookie quarterback along, you know, so I think that's important to remember it as well.
So, you know, the process, got to respect the process.
You
do. Got to trust the process.
And there's a lot of places in this world where that's true. Like,
not with the Philadelphia 76ers.
No, not there. But like Everest, I've never done it, but they do that whole thing where you have to like climb up, climb back down, then climb up further, climb back down a little, right? Like to get your body acclimated and all the oxygen, whatever. You go up to go down. You go up to go down. Or
I didn't know that, but okay.
You're training for a marathon, right? Like there's a certain process to it. And yeah, at the end of 1 week, you might run 12 miles and be like, whoa, I feel really good running 12. I think I could run 26. But the program says, nope, actually tomorrow you go back to running 6. You're not running 12 and you're not going to run more than 12 for another 4 days. There's these systematic approaches or step-like approaches to a lot of things. And I think that's how Van Pelt is looking at it. And we don't have to like it. And it may or may not be right. Because I think it was wrong that Drake May only played the one quick series in the first preseason game.
Yeah.
I thought those were wasted opportunities and reps. So I will forever believe when he makes the Hall of Fame in 15 years, 20 years, I'll be like, he would have been better if he had played that Carolina preseason game, would have gotten a little more experience against a bad defense quicker.
Would have been on the first ballot.
Absolutely. So
just played that preseason.
Even success doesn't mean the plan was right.
Right.
Right? And just like failure doesn't necessarily mean the plan was wrong. Kind of my theory is nature versus nurture, I guess. Isn't that the argument I'm probably making?
Sounds
like if
like
he's
it, yeah.
a franchise quarterback, he will end up a franchise quarterback, regardless of when
who
you put him out there.
Who the wide receivers, right.
And if he's not, then almost regardless of what you do to try to coddle and massage it, he's not good enough. So, yeah, nature versus nurture. Look at me going all like seventh grade biology class or
right.
whatever.
Yeah, it's also a little bit of like therapy speak going on in there too, I think.
Yeah,
yeah, probably. Yeah, so I'm with it, sure. How about offensive line? I mean, you just said, you know, coaching and all of that. If your offensive line is getting you killed every snap, then does it matter if you're, you know, breakable, unbreakable? Like, if you're going out there getting smoked, like Andrew Luck, who had to retire at 29 with a carved-up pancreas or whatever it was, like that, you know, Jacoby Brissett
is
another
way.
Like, that's a real thing.
The physical is absolutely real. Drew Bledsoe, I think, got, what did they call him in the documentary, like a beaten water buffalo
or wildebeest or something.
I do think, like, Drew Bledsoe is a guy that the pressure, just taking the hit after hit after hit over the years, I think eventually took its toll. There was a, you know, cumulative effect to that. And I guess that may be real. But then my flip side of that would be, I think this guy's more athletic and can run and can kind of defend himself and protect himself. And I also I have accepted the fact that this guy's a gamer. He's a game day May. He's a better player, much like your guy, David Wallace. On a different level.
He's better than David Wallace.
Yes. But he's elevated by full speed, competitive, show his athleticism. They can tackle him, but guess what? He's allowed to run whenever he wants kind of mentality, not practice where they can't hit you, but you're supposed to stay and go through your progressions. No. If I can run, I'm going to run. If I can pick up the first down, I'm going to pick up the first down. I think that's a big part of his game.
All right.
I don't think people knew that, by the way. I think there
were
a lot of... That
May
can run like he can run.
He was advertised as a mobile quarterback coming
out
of school.
But I don't think a lot of people knew it.
They might not
have seen
him.
It's like it snuck up on people or something. The guy had 22 rushing touchdowns the last 2 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of rushing touchdowns for, I don't care where you are, what level, what offense you're running. If you have 22 rushing touchdowns, that's pretty damn good.
That's the ACC. Who cares?
See? You people.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. Let me give you a hypothetical here. You tell me what's worse. Drake May starts the year. Has, you know, ups and downs, goes through a stretch where it's just you can't play him anymore, and so you bench him for Jacoby Brissett for a couple of weeks, or you start Brissett until week 7 or whatever, and then you go to Drake May. What would be worse for Drake May?
Worse for Drake May is probably the first one.
Getting benched.
Yeah, I don't see
like how Tua did, you know,
for Fitzpatrick. Even though I want to see him selfishly sooner rather than later, and I do think you accelerate the development and the experience and all that sooner rather than later. If he plays like a half a season, more than half, you know, 9 games, 7 games, whatever, I think that's a good amount of experience to springboard him into his sophomore season, in which he should have a left tackle and a number one receiver and a lot more talent around him based on the draft and free agency after that. Whereas once you go down that road of we pulled him, we just couldn't play him anymore. He just wasn't ready. Now, Tua has shown it can still work.
Mm-hmm.
It happened to Tua. They didn't break him. And like you said, he might be breakable, but they didn't break him in that situation. So, yeah, I don't think it would break May, but I don't think it's an ideal setup.
All right, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Get in now if you want to. We can sneak in under the gun here. We will go a little extra in the next segment as we take you past 6 o'clock and lead you right in to Red Sox and Blue Jays pregame with, who's on? Is it Joe Weil? We got Cooper Boardman. Joe Weil will be doing that. I think he's down at Fenway. It's Cooper Criswell and Yariel Rodriguez is your pitching matchup from Fenway here. Red Sox desperate need of a win. We will take you all the way up until pregame, which takes you all the way up to first pitch. And that's all coming up next. Jacoby Brissett on with us earlier today. Bulldog heart over here. Wouldn't let him up off the mat. In your mind, how about in real life? You going to play against the Bengals? He said, I haven't heard anything to the contrary. Now, that's not a committed answer. It doesn't mean he's been told you're starting 100%. No, change could possibly happen there.
Also means he hasn't been told Drake's starting.
He hasn't been told that either. So, yes,
as we
think,
surmised or whatever, probably tomorrow morning at a team meeting, Jerod Mayo will tell the team who the starting quarterback against the Bengals is going to be.
You think that'll happen tomorrow?
I do. And I think that 78% of our voters in our poll or whatever the hell it is are right. It'll be Jacoby Brissett.
Okay. So, yes, we did put out a poll today. And hold on. Let me find it. All right. Who do you expect? Not who do you want, but who do you expect,
which is key,
to be the Patriots week one quarterback in Cincinnati? It is a runaway. Jacoby Brissett, 78.7%.
Look at that.
Drake May, just 21.3%. This despite the fact that Gerard Mayo said that May has outplayed Brissett. I mean, he's said those words. We're not putting those words in his mouth. Those words came out of his mouth and into our ears, and I think also painted Mayo into a corner here now, because not only, and listen, I'm sure Brissett has a lot of respect in that locker room. I think that there's guys who like him, guys who look up to him. He's been in the league a while. He's, you know, he seems like an affable guy. I think, you know, people just like him in general. I don't know this, but it seems that way. People have told me that. And that's no knock on him or his leadership skills. But you're talking about a locker room, especially on the offensive side, full of guys whose future and whose careers and whose livelihoods depend on the guy throwing the ball to them. And you just told everybody that, yeah, this guy's better, but we're not going to play him. We're going to play this guy instead because we have a plan. And I don't know. It just feels like in any industry, in any business, when you do something like that, when you extol the virtues and say how great this thing is and this guy is, but we're not going to go with him. We're going to go with this guy. And, oh, by the way, all of you who depend on this one particular person to perform at a high level and your performance is basically a mirror image based on what they're doing, and we're going with the one that I publicly declared wasn't as good, you've pretty much, you know, like, that's, it's one thing to give a guy a lot of slack when he's a rookie head coach, but he's really had a lot of self-inflicted errors here in this first offseason.
Absolutely. This quarterback controversy is only controversial because of Gerard Mayo and the way he's handled it. I firmly believe that. I don't think either of the two guys have said anything wrong, inappropriate, worthy of talk radio fodder or anything. I think they've done their jobs really well. Gerard Mayo at every turn has said strange things and spoken too much. And, you know, it's sort of like the question when I asked Jacoby. He's been labeled the starter. Then he heard the coach say, we don't have a starter. Then he heard him call him QB1. Which I guess is the starter, but it's a different term that he decided to break out instead of starter. And then he said the other guy was better. He's won the competition. It's all over the road. If he were driving, Gerard Mayo would be pulled over. He's a drunk driver in terms of the way he addresses the media and the mixed messaging and the inconsistent and then the trying to fix it the next day or say it a different way. You know, what's that song like that? You say it best when you say nothing at all. Like, he might want to listen to that song on loop in his ear.
I'm not familiar with that song, but I understand what you're saying.
Right?
It's better if you say nothing at all.
You say it best when you say nothing at all or something.
It best when you say nothing at all. Yeah, you're right.
He just wanted to show off his pipes.
That was pretty good.
That was actually pretty good.
Keith Whitley.
He's alive. That was
country.
Pretty good.
Thank you.
Tell you what. First of all, I didn't know that song, and second of all, I did not know Stiz had such a beautiful country music.
Wait till I bring in my guitar and start serenading you guys.
Now, if you know, Stiz is a very talented musician. He's been written about. I mean, he was in this seat. You were. I mean, really.
Yeah.
This isn't me saying this. Like, Stiz was a fixture in the local hip hop scene.
I was
for years and years and years. And you can tell that from his rejoins sometimes. But yes.
I love his rejoins. He has the best rejoins. He makes me feel good coming into every segment.
I'm a big fan of those type of rejoins. Absolutely. Wow. That being said, you know that Gerard Mayo obviously is trying to really distance himself from Bill Belichick in many, many different ways. You were around him more often than any of us were before he became the head coach. Was he always like this, or is this sort of like a deliberate attempt to be like, I am not like Bill. I'll talk to you guys. I'll have a relationship with you guys. I'll be transparent with you guys. And he's like overcompensating.
So as a player, he was not. Under Belichick, obviously.
Right.
He's a player under Belichick, so that's part of it. He was like once a week talker, very end of locker room, didn't say much. And that's why I've talked about the idea. He's not a polished public speaker in the form, like Matthew Slater did a lot of media, whether it's interviews on our station or just a lot of sort of spokesman-like group media sessions when controversial things happen with the team.
Right.
He was the guy they would put out there.
Yeah, he
was the front-facing voice. So I think he would be better prepared to answer these right now, whereas Gerard is learning on the fly. I also think the power structure is a little bit weird. He doesn't make personnel decisions, and he doesn't make offensive decisions. So he's the face and voice and CEO of the team, but he might not always know exactly what the hell is going on in other key aspects of the team, right? key departments of the team. I think that adds to it. Maybe he needs to be a little bit more informed or have, you know, more meetings, in-depth meetings with Elliot Wolf and Alex Van Pelt to make sure I'm on the same page with you guys. We got to figure this all out together because I'm the guy that has to speak. I'm the spokesman for this team. But it's where I started the show. So Drake May has looked good, but he's not ready to play, basically, is the way this has been framed.
Mm-hmm. I think not completely, but yes. I mean, that's the general
I don't know how to describe it. I really don't. People confuse me. But the fact is, of the two rookies doing jobs, new roles for the first time, I asked you a simple question. Who has done a better job in his new role? Drake May, the rookie quarterback, or Jerod Mayo, the rookie head coach? And it's not even close, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's Drake May, the rookie quarterback. He has not stepped in anything, verbally, on the field, anywhere. He has not screwed with teammates, anything. He has done a nice job. Jerod Mayo has struggled in at least the one aspect, speaking to the public, talking to us, talking to Greg Hill, talking too often, talking at the combine, getting ahead of himself, whatever it may be. So I just find that a little ironic. Like, Jerod Mayo is okay with himself learning on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
And making mistakes and all that. But Drake May isn't ready. We're going to put Jacoby out there. Okay, well, why don't you have Ben McAdoo do your press conferences? He's a former head coach.
He is.
He knows the job. He's a journeyman coach. Or have Alex Van Pelt, a journeyman coach, do it. It's just an interesting comparison
it
in
is.
My mind.
You only get to hire one head coach, though. You can hire several quarterbacks.
That's true.
This team had four of them. Well, now three, but yes.
And no one hits the head coach. That's the other aspect.
That's true.
They do hit the quarterback.
Not often, anyways. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. There is some breaking Red Sox news that's almost like it's so ridiculous that it's almost kind of funny. I mean, I don't feel good about anybody ever getting hurt, but the two guys that the Red Sox traded for, Lucas Sims and Luis Garcia, both were placed on IL today. The two of them were. Sims, it's a lat strain. Garcia, it's right elbow inflammation. These last couple of days for the Red Sox have felt very apocalyptic to me.
Expect that word.
Here comes the fire and the brimstone, and here comes the four horsemen, and like, okay, this whole thing's over. That's what it's looked like, and I feel like this is one of the four horsemen, the two guys you traded for at the deadline, now both probably done for the year. We'll see how long they're actually out for, but yeah, that's the news. Lucas Sim, Luis Garcia, both hitting the IL today with various injuries. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, a little bonus baseball for you as we get you ready for the Red Sox and the Blue Jays and the apocalypse, I guess. That's all coming up next. All right, a couple minutes left here. A little bonus baseball for you before we hand things over to Joe Weil and Red Sox pregame. This is WEEI Afternoons. I'm Christian Arcan. Andy Hart here as well. We'll be at Fenway tomorrow where we will talk with Alex Cora, manager of the Red Sox. That should be a fun conversation the way this last 3 days have been going.
Hope he's a little more upbeat than Bradfoe was.
I mean, really. Yeah, Bradfoe. That was something. I haven't seen Bradfoe like that in a long time.
Same. You know? And I know you asked him, is it over? And he wouldn't say it was over. But then everything he said in his tone was, it's over.
Oh, yeah. It's 100%. Over and it's dead and buried, basically is what he was saying.
Basically. He said, but wait till next year.
Yeah. Right. I mean, they're pretty much at that point right now with this team. If you want to try and give a positive spin to the way the Red Sox have been falling apart, and you were trying to do this earlier, Andy, so I mean, I don't know why you're
saying
looking
I
at me
failed.
Like that. No, not so much, but I think that, you know, is this season already a success?
Yes.
Bradfoe doesn't think so. I don't think so.
Where's
I'd imagine
Giannis?
A lot of paying customers probably don't think so either.
I need Giannis, that Giannis audio. Remember Giannis said
there's no such thing as failure
in
sports?
Yeah, that.
I hated that quote so much.
Me too, kind of.
That was the worst quote I've ever heard in my life.
And I don't actually agree with that. Because this team was never going to contend for anything. I know Bradfoe says if you make the playoffs, you can win the World Series, which is technically true.
How can a guy who won an NBA championship say that? Like, you won the championship. You know what success is, and you know what not winning the championship is, and there's still no such thing as success and failure.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to label coming up short failure. I kind of get it. You don't want to call yourself a failure just because you didn't win the final game.
Sure.
Right?
The team failed to win the final game.
Well, it was like forever.
Failed, right. I mean,
is this season? I can remember how many times I've debated.
But if that's not a failure, then what is? Then there's no success either, right? If that's not, then you can't. Right?
This ish just got deep.
Well, what's the opposite?
If there's no failure, then there's truly no success.
What's the opposite of success?
Failure.
Yes. So if you succeed, if you win the championship, you succeeded, right?
But is not reaching success always failure?
Is not reaching success always failure?
Is this like Ricky Bobby, second place is first loser?
Pretty much, yeah.
Is that what we're going with here?
Kind of, yeah. It's different. It's a case-by-case thing. You know, different expectations for different teams. For some teams, winning eight games. Winning the Patriots win eight games as a success this year, I think. I looked at, exactly. at that as successful. Okay, but
what
I'm not looking.
What if they start 7-1?
If they start 7-1 and only win eight games, that's
okay. You're consistent.
That's
though,
a follow.
Because that was my Reds. I had no expectations for the Red Sox. I took the under, which I thought for sure was a lost bet. But you guys have cheered me up a little bit by thinking I got a chance.
History,
there.
History was would suggest maybe not.
And then people got excited, and they kind of stretched out for how long they were competitive and in the wild card hunt, and now they may end up in the exact same damn place.
Yeah,
last place. And just a miserable end to the season.
Unwatchable September, yes.
But to me, it was different because I now buy Jarren Duran. I now buy Tristan Casas. I now buy Tanner Houck. I now buy that you have a core of young players to build around. Now, I don't have to just look at Woo Sox for the talent. There's mm-hmm. actually Bo Sox talent that we're going to add Woo Sox talent to.
Sure. And if I felt any sort of confidence in this organization to actually build around them, then I'd feel better about it, but I don't. I know who I look to turn to when I need a little boost of optimism and enthusiasm. That'd be Steve from Fall River. Go ahead, Steve.
A path.
Well, you call me a Red Sox sucker. They're not done yet. There's a two-step formula they have to go.
Uh-huh.
Of course, it's one game at a time. But it's actually 2 weeks at a time. They have to make up two to two and a half games before September 15th. Mm-hmm. September 15th is the key. Keep in mind, Heim Bloom was biffed on September 13th because they were out of it.
Right.
If you're two to two and a half game, if you're two and a half, three in the loss column tops on September 15th, you're in it. 10 of 12 puts you right in the mix.
Are you at the bank or something, Steve? What is it? There's a lot of noise going on back there.
I've been a lot of places, as you know, since I've been on hold. I'm out for dinner right now.
Okay.
10 of 12 stretch for being right back in it. 10 of 12, my friends.
All right, Steve, enjoy your meal.
Did he say if they win 10 of 12, they'll be right back in it? Sure.
Yes.
Fine.
Is that what he said? 10 of 12 in the next 2 weeks?
I was busy mocking him.
I know. Well, where do you think Steve eats dinner? Where do you think he goes out for dinner?
The nines.
VFW.
Nines feels appropriate. Yeah. VFW.
Like someplace where they weren't angry that he was doing a phone call to Sports Talk Radio while having dinner.
No, not bothered at all. Didn't seem like. And he was also on hold for a long time. Like, we talked a lot of Patriots. Yeah. He called in when we were last talking Red Sox.
Right.
So that means he was on hold driving to the
appreciate
VFW,
it.
Driving wherever.
Appreciate
and,
it.
And hung around and gave a take. So, you know.
Wouldn't
you
be mad if you were sitting next to him in a relatively nice restaurant and you heard him? So there's the path for the Red Sox. Yeah. Like, it's one thing if the people next to you answer a phone and say, oh, sorry, honey, like, or, you know, oh, yeah, babysitter, like, I don't know, something mm-hmm. that's semi an emergency.
Right.
But a guy's on Sports Talk Radio.
Just jabbering away.
You're a jackwagon.
Yeah. That's Steve.
Right?
Steve in Fall River, the self-proclaimed greatest caller in the history of Sports
and
Talk
a genius.
Radio.
If they win 10 of 12, they might be in it.
Yes.
Sure.
If they win 10 of 12 and get to 77 right. and 66 or whatever that would put them at,
right.
then maybe. But that's sort of the point, I guess, is that they're only three games over 500 right now after going into the break, like double digits up.
They've lost five in a row. I know one is a technicality, but.
Absolute crap. I mean, this is watching them fall apart like this hurts worse. That's why I don't consider this a success. Seeing how they looked over the first couple of months. Talking about the resilience that they have, talking about how Alex Cora is, you know, managing differently this year, and look at all the different things this year, look at all this young talent, look at all these things. As Brad Fo said, and as I've been screaming this whole time, where's that brought you? Brought you right back to where you were before, in the Heim Bloom era.
And that's what worries me, is sort of the core spine makeup of this team. Because I felt like when you signed Cora to the extension, and then when you kind of were buyers at the deadline. I don't want to say all-in buyers, but kind of buyers. I thought you took away the excuse for a collapse, right? You no longer have the collapse reasoning. Mm-hmm. Like, because I could understand it in the past. You just give up. You're pissed off, whatever. And now they're still collapsing?
Yeah.
I don't know how you explain that exactly. And you know who that points to?
That points to Cora.
A little bit.
That points to the Cora and the manager and that
you'll
entire
ask him
clubhouse
about it
and everything else. We will. I'll definitely ask you. We will ask him about that tomorrow. No question
Hardo
about it.
Hardo Arcand.
Now.
Arcandy.
With that being said, you know, there's with you know, falling apart like this and having it all sort of go to hell like this, if you remembered some of the years in the past, 2021, they did not have a great August. And they were able to sort of recover from that and get all the way to the ALCS.
Like win 10 of 12.
Got to win 10 of 12. You got to do something like that. I don't know. I look at this team right now and it looks like a team that's giving up.
You feel it?
They look like they're giving up.
Yeah. I don't feel it.
How do you?
And I don't think it's their fault. This is where I jump ship. It's what I asked Bradfo. I never thought it was sustainable.
Mm.
They didn't have a sustainable path to success,
yeah,
in my opinion.
But also, these teams they're competing with, other than the Twins, the Orioles, the Royals, those are all teams that took the trade deadline very seriously, much more seriously than you. They traded top prospects. They brought in starting pitchers. They brought in power bats. They did all the stuff that I wanted them to do. And the Red Sox took care of some things. You're right. They got some relievers who both hit IL today. And that was it. And it wasn't enough. And this is why it wasn't enough. This is what happens when the other teams, Houston, all of them, are more serious about it than you. That is our time. Stick around. Joe Weil has you for the Mass Mutual pregame show. Andy Hart. Nothing caught on fire. Big success today, I'd say.
Yeah, I think we get to come back tomorrow to be host one and host two of the afternoon show.
We'll see you tomorrow at 2 o'clock from Fenway Park. Stiz, great job. See you.